The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 58 minutes today. We are broadcasting, and I am super psyched. We are broadcasting from the studios at Taconic High School, as we did about a month ago. And today, I'm honored and privileged, and I mean that sincerely. I have the utmost respect for this guy, even though I counseled him about the job.
Yeah.
But anyhow, he went ahead and took it. His name is Joseph Curtis. He is the superintendent of the Pittsfield Schools. He does, last night, and we'll talk about that through more, tours of Crosby and Conte schools. And good morning, Mr. Curtis.
Good morning. It is such an honor to be here with you in the Taconic studio. Do you remember the first time we did an interview together?
Yeah, in the old Taconic.
Well, and then we did one even before that on the, you know, that radio station.
Oh, yes, former radio.
The former, well, I think it's still there, but it's probably changed. I think so, yeah.
Oh, wow, I have to check it out. The yes, I do, and I remember at that point it was Dr. Eberwein was the superintendent.
That's right, yes.
And he said, I'd like you to meet this guy, and I think I gained a tremendous amount of respect for you at that interview, and I'll tell you why. During that interview, you said every day you get up, you set a bar for yourself, a bar for your family, a bar for your teachers, a bar for you, and a bar for their parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was at Morningside Community School. And from all reports of people that I know there in respect, teachers and others, you did a heck of a job.
Yeah, you know, it was certainly the challenge of a career. But being at Morningside was just an incredible experience. You know, they were really talking about closing that school because of academic performance. And the superintendent at that time had actually done a study to affirm that Morningside could be closed. And we really rallied together in some incredibly challenging times, set the bar as high as it could go, and actually took that school out of state status in 5 years. So always those experiences there and working with the staff, incredibly dedicated staff, the children, the families were amazing once you built trust. All of those things I learned there are foundational for what we are doing now.
And that's kind of what it's about. I found through my career that building trust, I was in South Africa and the Netherlands and Haiti, and people all want the same things. Mm. I don't care what you look like or what language
absolutely.
You speak, they all want the same things. And my wife, the Polish princess,
remarkable educator.
Yeah, she is, and a terrific wife. She put up with me for 53 years. I elevated her from angel to sainthood. But she taught it the traditional, but then she went to when it was Westside.
Yes.
One of the people who opened Westside. And you're right. They have fulfilled their mission.
Yes. You know, it's at that time when they built the then Westside Community School and Morningside Community School, those two buildings were certainly state of the art. They were revolutional.
Yeah.
They were open space with no walls, and it was an educational experiment at the time. But the city at that time in the 70s truly invested in the West Side and Morningside neighborhoods.
Yes, they did.
Those buildings still to this day are unique. They're large. They're utilized by the community every evening, still to this day. But again, it was an experiment, an educational experiment at the time. And, you know, it just doesn't fit. Neither building fits our educational needs now. And obviously it's hard for me because I'm incredibly loyal to Morningside and Conte.
Yeah.
Conte's where I began my career. And when we were had the pleasure of giving the city council and the school committee and the school building needs commission a tour of both Conte and Crosby, such a unique opportunity to bring all of our elected officials into our schools and really talk about the challenges they face. Specifically, the other evening was because of the facilities itself.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to let you know kind of up front. I know you have some inroad here in the studio and in the pro. You'll get no special treatment.
Okay.
So none whatsoever. You'll be the same abuse I give everybody you're going to get. You know, much has been written, Joe, about the loss of education through COVID.
Yeah.
What are you guys finding and what are you doing about it?
You know, the we had a large federal grant, ESSER, Every Student Succeeds. And we really utilized that fund, those funds, to bring in extra school adjustment counselors, student support services, family engagement coordinators, additional teachers to provide intervention and such. And still, you know, there's certainly a real and evident impact from COVID and that time that we all lost by being so isolated. And unfortunately, you know, when we're working with humans, quick fixes don't tend to ever work. It's much different than when you're operating, let's say, a factory or a machine shop or even a retail establishment where you can make some product changes and hopefully increase profits. But we're dealing with humans, and that's no shocker to say, but we have to remind ourselves that, you know, when there is an experience that has a tremendous impact on a human, it takes years for some to recover from that. So we're still dealing with reading loss and the impact, the social-emotional impact on our students. And I envision, you know, you've seen different articles and studies.
Yeah, you could go crazy.
You know, some say it will take decades or longer. Each year we're improving the students and their supports. But always incredibly worried about budgets, and and now that large, substantial federal grant is ending at the end of this school year, most of those supports, and in fact, maybe all that grant supported, they will all be going away.
And you know, I don't want to go into politics, but I wish some of the politicians would take step back and look at that and say, wait a minute, we're not there yet. Right. We haven't caught up. I mean, if you watch the various news channels, that's a misnomer, but if you watch the opinion channels, you'll find out, we're all caught up. Well, talking with teachers and parents, and you do it every day.
Every day.
They understand that they're working with their kiddos and doing, but there's some ground to be caught up.
Yeah, there is, and you know, each student is so, their needs are so individual, right? So there's not a blanket plan that you can put in place for thousands of children, and so that's where it can be so challenging, not only professionally but financially,
right?
To ensure that every student, which is our obligation, has the supports we need. And we know clearly and transparently, we haven't been able to accomplish that for every student. For a good deal of the students, I would say yes, and we're on the road to recovery. But there are certainly some groups of students we haven't been as successful with, and that's just being honest.
I have to bring this out because I sometimes, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and I don't think people truly understand what goes on at Mercer.
Right. Yes.
There's a lot of reporting demands.
Yes.
For reporting to the state and to the federal government about a lot of stuff. And every one of those reports didn't come from you.
No, they did not. Yeah, they certainly did not. And, you know, the amount of reporting just since I entered the central office as a deputy superintendent, the reporting, accountability, the audits that all school systems in Massachusetts have to participate in, it's not an option.
Right.
Is, I would say, staggering. And, you know, and as you look at the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education's website, and if it's obviously accessible to anybody, and if you went to any school system, including Pittsfield, you would see the unbelievable amount of accessible, transparent data, which is what the community demands.
Right.
But all of that, all of those data points came from somewhere, and they came from the central office.
Right.
And, you know, also, the central office is incredibly busy with families and students. There are families registering for school, meeting with the special education, myself or the deputy superintendent, meeting with the curriculum department. There's various parent committees. All of those things happen at the central office. So, yeah, I know, you know, you always hear in every budget season. Since I was probably a teacher, right? And before that, actually when the central office staffing was much more extensive, that there's not a knowledge of what goes on there. And we try our best, to communicate. And a lot of actually the central office, let's say for, like example, curriculum department, those positions aren't even funded on local tax dollars. They're all grant written. So many people suggest when we're downsizing, which we will certainly have to do for this upcoming budget, that's where they look to.
Right.
But for instance, there is a group of people that process payroll, right? So if those people didn't exist, no one would get paid.
Yeah.
Because we have our own payroll department that feeds information. So, you know, there's not to – our students need to come first and those who serve our students – but the people at the central office support the student, the staff that do support our students. So there has to be that there too.
Interestingly enough, you know, I've compared to my military days. I'm doing another project, and that I had to do some research. And for every combat troop, there are 4 to 6 support people.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm just going to whittle that down a bit. For every teacher, there's 2 to 3 or 4 support people, payroll, human resources, and people that can answer insurance questions.
That's right.
And then you have the whole other reporting piece to best. And, and they sit down there and just think up new things to report.
They do. And new things to audit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
and you know, and new initiatives to participate in. In fact, right after this, at 8:30, we have to participate in a DESE webinar.
Oh.
About student discipline. So, you know, it's a huge commitment with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And as we were saying earlier, when a report is due, or you were to attend a meeting or a webinar, whether it's virtual or traveling out to Marlboro, it's not an option.
Right.
It's not an option.
Yeah, and I want to let the public know that because, as you know, you're in the business. I mean, I hear it all the time. Yeah, they got too many people on that Mercer.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what they do? No, but they got too many of them. And before I forget, which, you know, at my age,
I forget at my age.
Well, you'll have to bring me to the car because I parked at one of those parking lots. But I want to thank Mr. Bishop for the last time escorting me out of the building. No, I kid. It's going to be a challenging year. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, there's, you know, the Student Opportunity Act money, the Chapter 70 money. Most people are familiar with Chapter 70.
Right.
That the state actually contributes a huge amount of money towards education in the city of Pittsfield. I mean, every year there is a commitment from the state to increase local aid and funding. And as an example, last year we received from the state an increase of around $6,700,000.
Wow.
And that was certainly one of the largest increases we've received in some time. This year, the increase is $600,000, roughly, right? So now, right away, we're behind in financial support of $6 million. And so this will be a very challenging budget season where not only the decisions from my office will be scrutinized, but those of the school committee and city council, without question. It will be very challenging.
Yep.
And we've all been through tough budget times, including myself as a teacher.
Yeah.
Receiving a pink slip, that's what they called then, or a layoff.
Yeah. Yep. Polish Princess got one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. That was each one of my first 3 years that happened.
Yeah.
During, that early 90s period. But, having a challenging budget times as a principal, as a deputy, and as a superintendent, they are never good for school climate or morale, or because everybody grows very concerned. And even if they don't receive a notice, their job is secure, they're worried of what the impact of not having so many colleagues around them will be.
And sometimes we have to step back. I'm sure you will remember this. I can remember when I was younger, the first things to go, band, drama, where you and I have had this discussion several times. Those courses keep a lot of kids in school.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one place I feel strongly. Our extracurricular activities, our clubs, our vocational programs here, one we're sitting in as we do this.
A wonderful one.
The arts, performance arts, media arts. You absolutely cannot go there during budget cuts, because you are right. That those programs are, for some students, maybe a good number of students, one could argue, are the courses and the opportunities that keep them engaged in school.
Absolutely.
So you can't go there.
No. And that used to be, as you remember, that those were the first things
absolutely.
To hit the chopping block. Oh, no more band, more band. And how many kids were in the band? That's what you look at.
Yeah.
The challenges, and one of my questions is, besides budgeting, because that's going to be huge. But what are three to five other challenging things that you are experiencing now as a seasoned teacher and administrator?
Well, I we are taking a very hard, honest look at the structure, the actual structure of our school district. And as you know, right now, except for high school, high school is the first time in over 50 years where we've changed the structure of high school. So now, no matter where you live in the city, you can apply to go to Taconic or go to PHS and experience career opportunities in both. So that was a structure that had been in place where you lived, designated where you went to high school for 50 years since the old Taconic opened. So there were students that lived in different parts of the city that never got a chance to experience the vocational programming here because it was over capacity, and that's why we changed. But currently our elementary attendance district structure and middle school relies heavily on where you live is where you go to school.
Yeah.
And so that has really, and I said this in a previous media article, kind of segregated different sections of our city into their own areas. And so, as we study this master planning and develop a master planning process, diversifying our school attendance district is something that I believe will benefit everyone in this city.
Yes.
And I clearly recognize some do not feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
They appreciate the current structure. They'd like to keep it that way. But that maybe has worked for some areas of our city. It has not worked for all areas.
No.
And there's evidence of that at every turn. Reports like we were saying earlier and such. So that I see that as one of my greatest challenges right now, to really continue to educate the residents and the community members of our city, whether they have children in the schools or not,
right,
to really explain and demonstrate the value that diversifying our school attendance districts can have.
I think it's the future. It really is. I can say this because I don't mind the hate mail. Pittsfield is parochial. You know what I mean? I grew up in the North End. We never left the North End. We go to the Boys Club. We go to the CYC. Friday nights, we go to the Girls Club dance and then walk. Ready? That's a unique thing now. Walk back home from the Girls Club.
Wow.
And but anyhow, what you just said is so important. It's been my experience in working with violent youthful offenders incarcerated in an adult correctional facility. Their only way out is education.
Their only way.
You can give them all the treatment. Yeah. If you don't give them a future, and you and I have had this before, you're committed to that. That's why I think we get along. But what you're doing at Taconic, what's going on at PHS, and now you're going to bring it downhill.
Right, yeah. I think it's, you know, we've also discussed really kind of changing our middle school structure to create a 5-6 school and then a 7-8 school.
Oh, cool.
And there's several reasons that we're putting forth for that. But one of the primary reasons, particularly for the 7-8 school, is to start bringing career experiences down to grade 7 and 8 and really showcase all the opportunities they'll have, the career paths they'll have in high school. So we start to get 7th and 8th graders thinking about a career. Right,
yeah.
Not that they're making their final decision. None of us do that young, but to give them these opportunities in the form of electives in that grade 7 and 8 school, then you're able to start having conversation with their parents or whoever they live with.
Yeah.
Okay, what do I think I want to do in high school?
Right.
That can really set me up for success when I graduate high school. So that's why when you really form a concentrated set of grades, like grades 7 and 8, you can offer that programming. And I would dare say that would be pretty much exclusive in Berkshire County to have those concrete experiences in middle school.
And before some people jump on that, it's part of the whole educational experience. Education is, in my opinion, is exposure to different things.
Absolutely.
So you can teach algebra, but you can intertwine it with technology.
Yeah.
And what they're doing here, and I just have to say, to Deputy Superintendent Tammy Gage, I say this all the time, there's some people who talk about breaking the glass ceiling. Tammy Gage is sitting on top of it, so follow her, because she's a lady. But she's also in charge of it. It's a new term, but I call it vocational technical education.
Yes. The term is much longer now.
Yeah, well, you know my memory. But why I say it very seriously is because look at what's been accomplished with her and Mr. Benjamin. Bishop. The other guy was Benjamin. He was here.
He was here.
He was here.
He still subs here.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, but Mr. Bishop, it's just unfolding.
Yeah.
And it's growing positively.
Right. The experience
Sorry about
here.
That. I hit the mic.
Oh, yeah. We got to remember not to hit the table, too.
Yeah.
The experience is here. You know, this is such a perfect example, the studio we're sitting in, that there are several students that have been part of this program. They're moving on to college.
Yes, they are.
And not all of them in the same area as this studio has concentrated on. But thinking about all of the experience that they've gained in this studio,
yeah,
that they can apply no matter what major, what they choose to do beyond Taconic High School.
That's what, as you remember, because you were the deputy at the time, we tried to save it. I gave a sample. When Boston said, well, what good is a TV radio studio? What are you going to learn? Really?
Yeah.
That showed me what you didn't know.
Right. Right. And, you know, just their ability. You know, I watched the weekly show that the Taconic produces.
Yeah.
I just watched up on Taconic. I watched it, even though it's a podcast.
Right.
And you think about the skills gained in just doing these productions and the ability to communicate, which is essential no matter what you do.
I'm blown away by the maturity of these students here and the maturity of every student I bumped into at Taconic.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we'll do a spiel on PHS and their pathways and all that. But I just think education today, we got to play a little catch up with COVID.
Yeah.
But we also have to kind of tune ourselves into the 21st century. I mean, I was telling the fellas here, when, at the old Taconic, I'd pass these two girls on the way to the radio station every day. And they'd be one on one side of the hall, one on the other, texting. So one day I just had, who are you texting? They went, her.
I know.
Why don't you just talk to her? You know? But podcasting, all of this, streaming, the future is changing right in front of us.
Well, you know, when I go on another local radio station, I always tease them because he likes to tease me. You know, I'm like, I've said to him several times, like, my son wouldn't even know how to tune into you.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Right? We don't have a home stereo. The car radio is just plugged into auxiliary. So I always tease him that I had to teach my sons to how to dial the radio into a radio station. But that's certainly not that local radio doesn't have a place. It certainly does, because it's how we get our information about our community. But our younger students, they listen to podcasts, they listen to streaming media. You know, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all those different tools. You know, they're not familiar with.
I get more and more as we're going to take a little break here in a minute. But what I really admire about this school system is it has the foresight to change, not knee jerk change.
Right.
I love watching the school committee meetings. This is my life. Old man watching school committee meetings. And I only do it for Dr. Cameron because he's old, too.
Do you watch it no matter how long it lasts?
Yeah, sometimes if I don't fall asleep.
So, okay. Like sometimes if it lasts till 10, then you're still
I'm
on?
I'm gone.
Oh, you're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm gone. Yeah, no. My wife goes, wake up. It's over. But when you present a change, you have the data.
Yes.
And that's new for education. I can remember when they went for, what was it, whole language?
Oh, yes. That's
right? You don't need to know phonics.
Yeah.
Don't tell the nuns that. They drilled phonics till our heads fell off.
That's in great comparison, whole language instruction to open space classrooms.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
It was an experiment that started with lots of excitement and hope. And it just didn't work. It just did not work.
And unfortunately, I can remember when I was at North Junior High, we had Mr. Lyons, wonderful guy, taught algebra. And he said, this is the new algebra. And we said, it's new to us anyhow.
Right.
And a long story short, I get to PHS, they're not teaching a new algebra. There was no coordination along the way, so it didn't make any difference with me. We're about ready to take a break. I'm here today, and I'm really honored, and I mean this sincerely. I think the world of this guy. His name is Joseph Curtis. He is the superintendent of the Pittsfield Schools, and it's not an easy job. And if any of you would like to shadow him, he's feel free. He starts at about, I don't want to give him away, 4:30. But anyhow, we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you for watching. Please stay tuned. There's more to an informed public makes the right decisions, in my opinion. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, simulcasting on PCTV. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yes! 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Berkshire County is headed toward a brighter tomorrow, and that future begins with you. The Berkshires are on the brink of falling into a major mental health crisis. Due to the lack of access, many patients, especially children, are waiting months for appropriate care. You can help by advocating for yourself and others to find careers in mental health. Be a mental health hero for the Berkshires. For more information, please visit thebreencenter.org or namibc.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Tired of the same old on the radio?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all the same day.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists, plus all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back, and I'm here today. I'm really fortunate, and I'm at Taconic High School. This is their studio. It's being produced by the students. Sean is back on Federico Drive, just making sure that we make the connections back to Federico Drive. But the on-site is all students. And Mr. Choquette, the teacher of this program, I can't say enough good things about him. I can't say enough good things about what's going on at Taconic. I'm here. This is my second time through. And Sean, don't pass out, but I was speaking with the superintendent, and we're going to try to do one of these a month from this studio. I always try to surprise Sean, especially early in the morning. But we're here, and I want to thank the Superintendent Curtis. And this young man, handsome dude, I wish I had hair like that. Of course, I wish I liked hair anybody. But
thank you, sir.
introduce yourself and tell us why you're here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Will Delsano. I'm a Taconic at, sorry about that, rather a student at Taconic High School. I'm a senior. I do take the elective of the video productions. I want to say that I definitely do enjoy this elective because upon me taking this, it's brought many opportunities.
Sure.
I joined Green and Gold, and with me joining Green and Gold, I was able to host the pep rallies, our quarterly pep rallies.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah. I'm doing that.
Good for you.
The theater teacher, she came my way. She asked me to do the play, The Little Mermaid, that we have upcoming in May. I got a little nervous, so I told her I wouldn't be really interested in partaking like a big role. So I just settled for a background character because, you know, some stage fright. But then, you know, you get into that and you meet so many people. You get courageous and, you know, the nervousness goes away.
Yeah.
It's in the back seat. And then we got Mr. Taconic tonight, 7 p.m. in the auditorium.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, it sounds like, you know, when you made the decision to participate in this program, it opened up many other doors that you might not even have thought about would open, but it did.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Taking, you know, different, like, I wouldn't say risks, but, like, challenges, taking on challenges, like being on camera, reading lines and stuff like that, like, that was all new to me. Yeah. I felt like I had to portray a different person as to who I was. Mm. And that's not really the case. Like, you can add your own portrayal to it. Like, the students that we have here, like Jack and Brendan, they do phenomenal on our Green Weeks with Taconic TV.
Yeah.
The Gold Weeks, where I have me and my co-host Ashlyn, phenomenal.
Yeah.
We get wonderful feedback from the teachers and the student body. They love how it's different. It's like almost a sense of professionalism with Jack and Brendan.
Sure.
Whereas with me and Ashlyn, it's more like we try to have fun with it. I like to say that I like to be like a voice for the students because me doing this, they come to me with different ideas that they'd like us to do.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Women's History Month being this month, a lot of young ladies have come up to us. Last month, we did interviews about Black History Month.
And yes, I saw those.
People who may be influenced by particular African Americans or, you know, any Black influencers. This month, we had young ladies come up to us and asked us to shine some light on some women and how they might be influenced and other thoughts on Women's History Month. It's a good class.
Well, and it also gives people, when I started in radio, I made a commitment, you know, we can disagree, but I won't be disagreeable.
Hmm.
And through the years, I've had people on, and I've learned more from people that I didn't think I could learn anything from. And you have to put a little bit, what I do, and most people watching, the superintendent will tell you, I don't change. When I come on, it's me.
Yeah.
If I'm busting you in the hallway, I'll bust you in here.
Right.
And I think people like the authenticity of the person on there. We were just reminiscing, the superintendent and I. We go back. I go back to another radio station that I believe still has tubes. but it's nowhere near the sophistication of this. But there was something authentic about him and is about him. And he's a fine guest, but I have to tell you, be prepared, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I had a person, I'm not going to mention any names, very well-known person. And so I said, so why did you enter this career field? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were asking me.
No, I'm not. That's what they did.
They didn't respond.
And then I said, what was your rationale for entering? They said, oh, well, I like to do that. And it was like the longest hour.
Yeah.
So be prepared, because I said, if you don't answer this at the break, if you don't give me a little more answers, I'm going to have to break into Irish songs.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, when I've been asked many questions or been asked that same question, you know, my reason for going into education started when I was really young, and I happened to be at a movie theater with a bunch of friends and saw that movie Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Joe Clark was a principal, and he put his heart and soul in some very unconventional ways. I probably wouldn't do the same nowadays, but where his heart was always at the center of what kids need. And that's always driven me. So we've had to make very tough decisions.
Sure.
We will continue to do so with the restructuring and budget priorities that will come forth, but keeping what kids need at the center of those decisions. And being transparent and honest, because, there's so much of an assumption now that people aren't being truthful. So being truthful and transparent has always been an absolute center of how I operate. And those that know me well know that.
Yeah.
Those that don't know me, with social media and all of that, they tend to question that. But those that know me well know if you ask me a question, you're going to get the honest answer.
As I said, we go back a few years. I've never found you to be evasive or deceptive in questions. And I've asked you over the years, I've asked them a lot of questions.
It doesn't work. It never works. It really doesn't work now because, as we often see in the media, when someone makes an attempt to not be transparent or to be deceptive, they're found out quickly.
Yeah.
And then trust is broken in every way. So, sometimes the answers to the questions are very difficult. And I often ask in conversations, do you want an honest answer?
Yeah.
Right? Because some people ask questions they really don't want
answer. No, you're exactly right.
And I'm respectful of that. And some people say, when I ask that question, they'll return with, right now I'm not. I'm like, okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
Let's continue the conversation another time,
And I think as I go back to my former life with the violent youthful offenders, I was, as we've talked about this before, almost every one of them had an IEP. And what I tell teachers is when I get an opportunity to address them or whatever, the veneer that many of these young people have to put on just to survive, don't let that skew the IEP.
Yeah, yeah. Every student is capable of anything with the right opportunities.
Absolutely.
Every student. And I think, your example was fantastic where, you pushed yourself to enter a program that you thought you might not have thought of.
Right.
And then because of that, now all these you're meeting all different types of people with different passions. They're talking about their passions and desires to you. You're sharing with them. So now they're getting a benefit, too, of learning from you. And every new opportunity you push yourself to take advantage of opens up another door, right?
It makes you stronger.
I try to emphasize that idea to some of the younger students here. Like, with them being, freshmen coming into Taconic, they're so young. Me being older, senior. They're going to look to us for advice.
Right.
So when I see some of the kids, for example, I was speaking with two young men in the hallway, and they were talking about shops and how it's getting to a point where they got to make their decision on the final shop that they got to do, right? So I told them, I said, make sure that the shop you pick is the shop that you want to see yourself pursuing after high school, the opportunities that come forth afterwards. For example, my freshman year, I made the decision to partake in our carpentry program. Did I see myself pursuing it afterwards? At first I did. We got into our sophomore year and we got more into it and more into it. And then we took a trip out to Boston at the Union. And they told us about how some of it would go and what would happen when you graduate from Taconic going up to that program and how they bump you up a little 2 years so you get more pay and stuff. But then they told us a bit about how it would go and whatnot and the different things you would have to do. And some of that stuff I didn't see myself doing. So, we come back to school and we're, continuing with our projects in the class and whatnot. And I'm, second guessing it. I'm just like, I don't think I want to do carpentry. So I speak with my counselor and I speak with the teacher. And no disrespect to the teachers here, Mr. Bailey and Mr. Numano. Fantastic gentlemen. Very good people. I spoke with Ms. Simons as well. Wonderful woman. We all spoke and I made the decision to switch out of that. And I took on the electives with Mr. Phelps. I took on juvenile issues in American law. made the decision to go on to after school. I would go and get my major in criminal justice. Mm-hmm. I got accepted into BCC's criminal justice program.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And through that, that's what I want to do. I just want to get my degree in criminal justice. After that, I'm going to take that and give back to my community.
Right. And this work, no matter what field you go into, in criminal justice, again, the responsibility that you're learning here, the communication skills, all essential for whatever you decide to do.
Absolutely.
That's the amazing part.
And I will proudly tell you, I am a graduate of the Berkshire Community College criminal justice course, and my career has taken me all over the world, and it started there. So good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
If I can ever be – if I hit this one more time, they're going to throw bricks at me.
And BCC is such – we are so fortunate to have that, you know, right up our street. Right from here.
Right up the street.
And to have that affordable education right here. And then if you make a choice after 2 years, after your associates to go on.
Sorry to interrupt you. Continue. I apologize.
You certainly can. If you don't, you can do things with that associate's degree, too.
That's right.
Some amazing things, too. So we're so fortunate to have Berkshire Community College here.
Yeah.
What you were saying?
After my first 2 years, after my sophomore year, I plan on transferring to UMass Lowell for my junior and senior years of college. Yeah. You know, I don't know what I might do after that, but plan to take all the opportunities and chances that I get and hopefully run with it.
Yeah.
You know, here's what I admire about you. You have the vision to realize I don't like doing this at a very young age. And I, unfortunately, when I was in school, a lot of the kiddos that weren't technical at that time, and believe it, was nothing like this, was electric typewriters, but or shop, vocational, or college prep. They didn't have a choice. It's what their parents told them they were going to do.
Yeah.
And you need to go home tonight and thank your parents for saying, giving you, realizing that you're mature enough to make these decisions. And that, to me, you're a wonderful example of Taconic.
Thank you, sir.
And the I always go to food, you know that. And the smorgasbord they have here of opportunities. And you're not locked in. You know, you wouldn't want me in carpentry because, well, I like my fingers and I'm not good around saws. But what you've done is something beyond – it's the maturity, I think, in your parents, yourself, but also the guidance in the presentation you get here at the schools, at all your school, all the way up.
Yeah, the ability to have that advocacy for yourself then seek out staff members that can support you in making those choices. And there is certainly some outstanding people here that guide and help guide students in their choices.
There are a few in particular that have done that for me.
Yeah.
I could probably list five off the bat.
Yeah,
Mr. Garapi, Mr. Webster, Dr. Berger, Mr. Phelps, and my sophomore history teacher, Ms. Weisberger, they all told me if there was something that I wanted to do, do it.
Right.
If I didn't see myself doing something, don't do it.
Yeah.
But there was a quote in which Mr. Garapi had spoken about in one of the classes that I took. Whatever you want to do, make sure you're good at it.
Right.
I'm not particularly sure as to who said the quote.
Yeah.
Mr. Garapi did shed some light on that quote, and, you know, obviously going to live up to that.
Yeah.
If I want to do something, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be pretty good at it. I'm not going to, you know, pursue something that I wouldn't want to do and be bad at.
That's great.
Yeah.
But go back to you have the freedom to do that with your parents, starting with your parents, coming here, the advice, the consult. You know, that's, to me it's worth its weight in gold.
And, you know, the ability to have both of our high schools to have so many choices and opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just here at Taconic, but certainly Pittsfield High School. So, you know, if you were at Pittsfield High School and you were participating in the theater arts program, but yeah. now you decided maybe your pathway might change and you'd like to focus, let's say, on maybe sure. engineering, those opportunities are now there and we're building more every day. So, you know, we want our high school students, our community members, to understand that there's so many different pathways to take here. You'll be supported throughout.
That's exactly
and
right.
if you change your mind, that's okay, because adults do that too.
Yeah.
Right? Adults shift their career paths. You know, now more than ever. I mean, when I was young, all of the people that surrounded me, they basically did the same thing for their entire life.
If you don't mind me asking, I apologize to interrupt you, but I want to go back to when we were speaking about BCC.
Right.
You said you were a graduate from BCC.
I am.
From
their criminal justice.
And now you do podcasting.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about career changes. I want to ask you, if you don't mind,
well,
what brought that change from criminal justice to the podcast?
Old age.
Yeah.
I had open heart surgery in 2005, and I was force retired.
Oh.
So, but I'm proud of that, because now all those people who say I don't have a heart, I have pictures. So I show them. But and just for lack of when I was going in Southern Vermont College, I also minored in education. And I did my student teaching in Lanesboro. And education has always been a mainstay for me. The superintendent and I were talking before. I worked with violent youthful offenders. These kids, 14 to 20, their crimes were so bad, horrendous. They were adjudicated adults and sent to a penitentiary. And some of them won't probably get out, but most of them will. After long sentences, 10, 20, 15 years. But the thing was this, and I believe this with my whole heart, I'm a zealot for it. Education for any kiddos that are stumbling, the only way out is education. I don't care if it's academic, it's vocational, technical, whatever. You have a horticulture program here, second to none.
Yeah.
You have a fellow that I have known since he was your age or younger, Mr. DeMarco, the electrician teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's done work for me. So I guess what we bring, the superintendent and I, more so than me than him, is age and experience. And what I'm seeing here, we didn't have a choice. When I was at PHS, your guidance counselor said, this is what you're going to do. Yeah. This is the course. But I don't want to take French. I didn't ask you what you wanted to take.
Yeah.
We have openings in the French. And that's kind of the way it was. That isn't that way anymore.
No. When I went to high school, I went to high school in downtown Springfield, Mass. Mm. And we had very little choice in what we took. I mean, it was minimal. In fact, I remember taking over and over and over typing. On the old-fashioned typewriters.
Yeah. They still made us do that. Yeah. I remember sixth grade, they had us do this typing website, and we just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, we had to type emails and stuff.
We had the old typewriter that actually... there was an arm that went up and punched the paper.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
And then you had to go like this, click,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Once you get to the end of the paper, click.
Yeah, now you just press the space bar.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough, I had a... At North Junior High, but let me just tell you about that. At North Junior High, they made us take typing. And I thought, Miss Genovese, who married Mr. Fallon, and she was a wonderful teacher, and he was a wonderful teacher. But what I never realized till I got to college was how important that was.
Yeah.
That we learned to type. Because in high school, unless you were in commercial, you couldn't take typing.
Right. No, and now, you know, students are just so familiar with the keyboard, they kind of learn their own version of typing.
Yeah. I watched you guys, like, on the computer boards. You don't even look. I'm like, but that's me setting my password.
Yeah, sometimes I can just, like, if I'm writing an email in class
yeah.
and a teacher, like, if I'm writing an email to another teacher and the teacher's trying to tell me something, and I need to get it out, I'll just can get it out.
I was amazed, and I know they had a podcast here about it. They referenced it, but I attended, I think it was just last week, all the days kind of melt into each other, but they had a play, Murder in the Pie Auction, and it was held in the Epicurean Room.
Yes.
Right? That was just the other day.
It was a dinner theater.
Yep.
So, you know, I sat down, I purchased the ticket, sat down, and they started serving, I think, a 3 or 4 course meal.
Wow.
While the play was going on. Several of the students here acted in the play. But when you want to talk about a shining example of two programs working together seamlessly, integrating together, phenomenal evening.
Right.
I ate too much food.
Well,
and, you know, they auctioned pies off as well. And so you had to bid on pies, these incredible pies. Wow. Yeah.
Going back, I mean, think back, we've only got a few minutes left, and that is how far education's come since you first started as far as student involvement in their own decisions.
Right.
And I think that's healthy. And the Pittsfield school system, you know, I know there'll be backlash, but I'll say this. The Pittsfield school system offers so much, from AP to vocational shops to careers, that
college opportunities.
Oh, man. I mean, I go back and I'll say this quickly. I met this young lady, and you'll know who it is. She was in metal fab. She was about your size. And I'm used to, I worked in a shop. And most of the guys who worked in metal fab, well, they ate nails. You know, I mean, so I was a little taken aback. But she said she was doing that to show me. I'm so impressed with, like, even you and her and so many other kiddos here. She said, I'm doing this to make enough money to pay for my, I want to be a nurse practitioner.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, why didn't you take, you know, the CNA? And she said, because it won't pay enough for me. And she left. And one of the, back, this is 15, 20 years ago, she went to a special course during the summer, and she started like 80-something bucks an hour.
Yeah.
So, I do have to say this. There's a couple of people, Mr. Curtis, that I think they need a couple more years' experience. One is Beverly Gantz. And the other is Rosemary Blake. I think they're new at their positions.
Yeah.
If you could just give them a couple more years to hone out the rough
edges. Over 50 years, right? So they have over a century together of experience.
And I'll tell you, they're as dedicated today as they were then.
Yeah, and I hope they do watch this program.
I do, too, because I think Rosemary Blake helps coordinate me. With you.
Yes.
And Beverly Gantz helps me get in the building.
Yes. She's always my point person when I come to Deconic.
She's sweet. I want to thank you. I know you've got a webinar coming up real quickly.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. And we'll talk more about doing more shows from here.
Yeah, absolutely.
For exposing more of the shops, PHS, maybe even some of the middle schools.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have to talk with Sean, who's now passed out cold since I said this without clearing it for. Sean, I'll be right there.
Now, you know, the next time we do this show together, I'm going to find which seat I have to sit in so they don't show my bald spot.
How about me?
I'm trying to constantly move over.
Oh, yeah.
It's well, you don't have to worry about it, but I'm not to your point yet.
I know.
Where I'm going to shave my head.
But I will tell you this in closing. Well, I was at PCTV one time, and I'm looking up at the monitor, and I go, who's the bald?
Look at it. If I lean over too far,
I'm not
going to do it. They could see. You could see my bald spot.
Well, I got my hair done just to come this morning. So
they should have. We should go down to the makeup studio.
Yeah.
Before we come up here.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, we'll get our makeup, I'll get my top sprayed.
Yeah.
Downstairs.
Well, I was saying to this good-looking guy here. Listen, my head's blue, and that'll upset my heart doctor. But anyhow, I do want to thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Best of everything.
Thank you, sir.
If ever I can help you with CJ, give me a call. Especially, I got a few people at BCC I know.
Thank you.
Mr. Curtis, thank you. I know you're last night you were out late. I was too. Yeah. Well, for me, it was late. But we'll do this again, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you come to Taconic, I'll stop by.
And in closing, I will say this. Thank you to the Berkshire County Irish American Club. They voted me Irish Person of the Year, and I thank you for that. It's an honor to my entire family.